Chapter 1, A Star is Born, Life and Death of a Planetary System, Exoplanet Exploration, Planets Beyond Our Solar System. A star is born. It all begins with an unimaginably cold cloud. This cloud contains the seeds of whole new worlds, stars and planets about to be born. Molecules of hydrogen and helium gas, which normally zip around at high speeds, slow down and clump together because of gravity. Tiny grains of silicates, iron and carbon-rich material, together classified simply as dust, send some of the gas energy back out into space, making the cloud even colder. The dust grains spiral into the central knot of matter, like water running down a drain. As this pocket of the cloud contracts and thickens, a bright, hot ball begins to form at the center as more gas and dust are pulled in. Gravity is waging a battle against the pressure of gas and magnetic fields, and gravity is winning. While the infant star takes shape, the material spiraling inward flattens into a pancake-like structure known as an accretion disk. Why does this happen? The gravitational tugs of the galaxy's billions of stars may have accelerated and shocked the gas. Or, maybe two clouds are bumping into each other, causing pockets of gas to coalesce. But sometimes, the catastrophic explosion of a massive star drives strong winds of material into a star-forming cloud, a death resulting in a new birth. Q. How do we know what kind of star will form? A. That depends on the material that is available. Close. Mysteriously, in our galaxy and probably most others, the likeliest type of star to form is almost too small to sustain itself. Red dwarfs, which can be between 1/13 to 1/2 the mass of the Sun, represent 3/4 of the stars in the Milky Way. Any smaller than this, and hydrogen cannot fuse in its core, the dominant process powering most stars. Red dwarf stars burn so slowly that their lifetimes will be longer than that of the present-day universe. Click to expand infographic. Sun-like stars are more rare, although still represent 8% of the galaxy. Most rare are the very massive stars, which can weigh as much as 150 suns and only live a few million years. Those stars are so big, so luminous and so short-lived, that astronomers are observing these stars in their pulsating, mass-ejecting death throes, while their low-mass stellar siblings are still in the process of forming, Mamajic said. A young star is called a protostar until it can power itself with hydrogen fusion reactions, and high temperature is crucial to that transition. As matter falls in faster and faster, and the ball of gas at the center gets smaller and more compact, the tug of war between gravity and other pressures heats up the infant star. Even hundreds of thousands of degrees is not enough. The core of the star must get to about 10 million degrees before it becomes a hydrogen-burning machine. To be a bona fide star, it must spontaneously fuse hydrogen atoms to form helium, releasing enormous amounts of energy. This energy stabilizes the star's core, such that it stops contracting. This whole process can take about 40 million years. Raining stars. The same process may be happening in dozens, hundreds or even thousands of places in the same molecular cloud, becoming a glittering stellar nursery. It's like rain in a cloud on Earth, said Eric Mamajic, deputy program scientist of NASA's Exoplanet Exploration Program. If you've got the combination of physical conditions to form a drop of rain, chances are you're next to parcels of gas that have the similarly ripe conditions right for producing lots and lots and lots of rain. In this way, molecular clouds are like Earth clouds, and the raindrops are like stars. The gas from these clouds can collapse and fragment, forming big batches of baby stars. So, stars tend to form in big groups. News flash, a stellar nursery. Close. Cygnus X is one of the most active regions in the Milky Way hatching baby stars. Some 4,500 light-years away, thousands of stars are being cradled in a violently turbulent cloud of gas and dust. Star-forming region Cygnus X. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, Harvard Smithsonian CFA. NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope captured this image in infrared light that reveals cavities in the cloud, carved out by the violent outbursts of massive stars. The radiation and winds from these massive stars can rip star-forming material apart, but also trigger the birth of new stars. In this image, the color green highlights dust tendrils, while red shows possibly cooler types of dust and ionized gas from nearby massive stars. Scientists say most stars formed in large regions like Cygnus X, and then move away from each other over time. Our Sun may have similarly grown up close to other new stars before it left the nest. Read more. The Eagle Nebula is a famous example of a cloud where stars are born. This area is called the Pillars of Creation. Credit, NASA, ESA, Hubble and the Hubble Heritage Team. Full video. Now that we have our stars, how will they get to have planets orbiting them? Check out Chapter 2 to find out. Chapter 2, From Cloud to Disk, Life and Death of a Planetary System, Exoplanet Exploration, Planets Beyond Our Solar System. From Cloud to Disk. The newborn star is a feisty baby, shooting out violent jets of magnetically accelerated material as it gets nourishment from the gas and dust whirling around it. Like a blob of pizza dough flattening out as a chef spins it, this material condenses into a flat disk. That dough has a preferred direction inherited from the collapse of the cloud. That same spin will remain with the system for its entire life, unless another star system gets close enough to interact with it. At about 100,000 years, the cloud starts to thin out enough to reveal two distinct structures, a newborn star and a fluffy, diffuse disk of gas and dust. Q. How do we know if there are planets forming in a disk? A. Spirals and gaps. Close. Scientists who study these very young systems are looking for features in the disk that indicate places where planets may be forming. At first, the gravity of a baby planet will warp material around it into a spiral shape. But as the planet grows bigger, it will carve out a larger gap in the disk. Yasuhiro Hasegawa studies protoplanetary disks at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, J. Thompson. Yasuhiro Hasegawa, a researcher at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, has been studying one famous example, HL Tau, using the Atacama Large Millimeter, Submillimeter Array, ALMA, a group of radio telescopes in Chile. Gaps in this disk, making it look like rings, may be the footprints of baby planets, as research has revealed in the last couple of years. This discovery was a big leap in our field, he said. ALMA image of the disk around the young star TW Hydrae. Credit, S. Andrews, Harvard Smithsonian CFA, B. Saxton, NRAO, AUI, NSF, ALMA, ESO, NAOJ, NRAO. A more mysterious system is called TW Hydrae, the closest star we know that still has a gas-rich protoplanetary disk, although it is still 175 light-years away. ALMA has also revealed striking images of this disk with gaps that suggest planetary formation. However, the gaps appear in vastly different places depending on which wavelength of light was used. Radio waves detected by ALMA tell a different story than optical light from the European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope. The question is, why are there differences? What's that coming from? Said Hannah Jang Condal of the University of Wyoming. It's a real puzzle. NASA's James Webb Space Telescope, planned for a 2021 launch, could teach us much more about disks like these by measuring the heat radiation coming from them in infrared light. Hannah Jang Condal studies protoplanetary disks at the University of Wyoming. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, J. Thompson. Planetary crumbs. The whole system is still mostly hydrogen and helium, with about 100 times more gas than dust in the disk. The dust will be critical to forming planets, containing elements such as carbon and iron. Planets are essentially the crumbs that don't end up in the star, said Joel Green, scientist at Space Telescope Science Institute. News flash, gluttonous young star. Close. Changes in stars and their disks often happen over much longer periods than human lifetimes. But the young star Fu Orionis has shown marked mood swings in a matter of decades, offering a rare look at a planetary nursery under construction. Fu Orionis, artist's concept. Credit. NASA, JPL Caltech. In 1936, astronomers observed Fu Orionis becoming 100 times brighter than normal, energy emitted as the star gobbled up gas and dust from its surrounding disk. More recently, astronomers used NASA's Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy, SOFIA, and the Spitzer Space Telescope to check in on the young star. They found that the star has been eating the innermost part of its disk, and that the star's overall brightness has been slowly fading since 1936. The initial flare-up seen more than 80 years ago would have altered the chemical composition of material swirling closest to the star. If that material one day forms planets, the fates of those worlds will be altered by Fu Orionis's snacking. Read more. Visualization, watch a protoplanetary disk in action. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, D. Barry and NASA Goddard Scientific Visualization Studio. Full video. How do these crumbs that survive the star's hunger become planets? Check out Chapter 3 to find out. Chapter 3, Collisions, Life and Death of a Planetary System, Exoplanet Exploration, Planets Beyond Our Solar System. Collisions. A very young disk around a star contains mostly gas with dust, no bigger than grains of sand, swirling around in it. The baby star is still throwing out extremely hot winds, dominated by positively charged particles called protons and neutral helium atoms. A lot of the material from the disk is still falling on the star. But small groups of lucky dust particles are crashing into one another, clumping into larger objects. Planets will form from less than 1% of the mass of the disk. We look at our solar system now, and we're just seeing the stuff that has survived that initial process, Mamajic said. There might have been earlier generations of planets that actually migrated in and were absorbed by the sun, in just the first few million years of our history. The presence of gas helps particles of solid material stick together. Dust clumps become pebbles, pebbles become larger rocks that grind together to enlarge. Some break apart, but others hold on. These are the building blocks of planets, sometimes called planetesimals. Q. Is there another way that planetary bodies could form? Yes, through the collapse of material in the disk.
Más EXPAND.
Eric Mamajic studies exoplanets at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Credit. NASA, JPL Caltech. A different kind of adventure in making planets is called gravitational instability. When pockets of gas in the protoplanetary disk become overly dense, they can cool down and contract rapidly into objects ranging from comets to planets. This can only happen far away from the star so that the star's own gravity doesn't rip these objects apart. Rather than beginning as grains and accumulating materials slowly over millions of years, bodies born from instability are thought to reach their full size within a few thousand years. The giant planets of our solar system were once thought to have formed this way, through the collapse of gas in the disk. Today, scientists think it's more likely this is the story of how planets much more massive than Jupiter formed around other stars. Some brown dwarfs, objects too big to be planets but too small to fuse hydrogen and become stars, may have been born this way, too. In our own solar system, small icy bodies in the Kuiper belt, where Pluto orbits, may have emerged directly from the protoplanetary disk as well. These so-called cold classical belt objects could have formed quickly from the collapse of rock and ice. Temperature matters. Where the disk is colder, far enough from the star that water can freeze, tiny fragments of ice hitch a ride with dust. Dirty snowballs can amass into giant planetary cores. These colder regions also allow gas molecules to slow down enough to be drawn onto a planet. This is how Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus and Neptune, the gas giants of our solar system, are thought to have formed, a rock-ice core grabbing gas out of the disk and forming the wondrous swirling layers of gas of the planets we see today. Jupiter and Saturn are thought to have formed first, and quickly, within the first 10 million years of the solar system. In the warmer reaches of the disk, closer to the star, rocky planets take shape after the icy giants form, and there's not a lot of gas left for the terrestrial planets to snag. Planets that are rocky like Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars may take tens of millions of years to form after the birth of the star. The details of exactly where planets prefer to form in disks is still a mystery, and an ongoing area of research. You want a sweet spot where things collapse easily, but not so far out that the material is so spread out, Green said. News flash, shish, planet formation in progress.
Más EXPAND.
There have been very few examples of baby planets caught in the act of forming in a disk around a star. But Miriam Kepler and André Müller at the Max Planck Institute for Astronomy in Germany each led teams that captured rare images of young planet PDS 70b, using the European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope in Paranal, Chile. They announced the discovery in 2018. Young gas giant PDS 70b in its disk. Credit, ESO, A. Müller et al. A gas giant, PDS 70b, is already more massive than Jupiter and could still be growing. Its gravity carves out a large gap in its disk and orbits its star roughly at the same distance as Uranus in relation to our Sun. Because material continues to fall on PDS 70b from the disk, releasing energy, the young PDS 70b is hotter than any planet in our solar system at 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit 1,000 degrees Celsius. The PDS 70 system is 5 million years old, only a little over 0.1% the age of Earth. Although the planet is in some sense newborn, Mueller thinks of it more like a 14-year-old. It's not fully grown up, he said. It's still a little bit wild, but starting to get mature. Read more. Visualization, learn how young planets get bigger. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, D. Barry and NASA Goddard Scientific Visualization Studio. Full video. Once planets form, they're not going to stay in place. Check out Chapter 4 to learn why the whole system can be thrown into chaos. Chapter 4, Moving Around, Life and Death of a Planetary System, Exoplanet Exploration, Planets Beyond Our Solar System. Moving Around. Based on just an image of baby planets in a protoplanetary disk, it is impossible to determine what the system will look like as it matures. Is disk destiny? Probably not, said Heather Knutson, professor at Caltech in Pasadena. Growing planets don't stay put. They move around. They interact with each other, and with the gas disk, in a way that can be quite random and messy. Q. Did planets move around in our own solar system? A. Yes, a lot. Close. The tail end of the formation of the solar system, between about 50 million and 500 million years after the Sun formed, was particularly turbulent for our solar system. This was when the giant planets of the outer solar system reorganized themselves. Based on careful study of the distribution of bodies in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter and the Kuiper belt beyond Neptune, we now know there must have been a period when the orbital positions of Jupiter and Saturn led to a tug of war. This shuffling may have scattered Uranus and Neptune out to their current orbits and bombarded Earth with debris. Avi Mandel studies planetary evolution at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. The late phases of planet formation were a really gradual process as planets slowly shifted in their orbits, said Avi Mandel, researcher at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. We believe those small changes may have eventually led to a huge event of scattering between planets. But what exactly caused it? A hotly debated question in planetary science is how a special alignment, or resonance, between the orbits of Jupiter and Saturn could have changed their positions, as well as those of Uranus and Neptune. We still have a few groups of small objects that were likely flung around as Jupiter and Saturn tumbled through their youth. The asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter contains small rocky planet wannabes that never got to reach their potential because of interference from Jupiter's gravity, Knutson said. The Kuiper belt, which contains Pluto, was probably shaped by this process of planetary shuffling, too, especially because of Neptune's scattering. There's a whole other outpost even farther afield, the Oort cloud, a sparse but vast sphere of comets circling the Sun. The Oort cloud begins roughly 200 billion miles, 300 billion kilometers, away from the Sun, and may extend as far as 9 trillion miles, 10 trillion kilometers from our star. Scientists are looking at other star systems at various ages to search for evidence of similar processes happening elsewhere. By combining the archaeology of our own solar system with the formation of planets in other systems, we can create a holistic picture of how we came to have the planetary architecture we see today, Mandel said. Artist's concept of interstellar object, Oumuamua, which perplexed scientists in October 2017 as it whipped past Earth at an unusually high speed. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, R. Barkas. A turbulent time. After the gas of the disk has been grabbed up by rocky planets or dissipated into the vastness of space, the planets don't sit still. In such a young system, planets or planetary building blocks called protoplanets may be orbiting on collision courses with each other, and the absence of gas makes moving around easier than ever. Once you get rid of the disk, then you have the potential for the planets to interact with each other, rather than with the disk, and that can cause things to change, said Jang Kondal, the astronomer at the University of Wyoming. Big planets may kick smaller bodies into the star or out of the system entirely. This is one possible explanation for large, lonely bodies called rogue planets that have been found without stars. The recent mysterious visitor to our own solar system, a small comet named Oumuamua, is thought to have been ejected from a different star system. News flash, evaporating planet. Close. One revelation that made scientists rethink their ideas about a planet's life story is that our galaxy has many hot Jupiters. These are planets found in other star systems, not our own, that are about the same size as Jupiter or larger but orbit much closer to their host stars, worlds where 1 year can be less than 2 days. KELT 9b Artists Concept. Credit. NASA, JPL Caltech. In 2017, scientists announced the discovery of KELT 9b, a planet hotter than most stars, where temperatures can reach 7,800 degrees Fahrenheit. It was discovered using one of the two ground-based telescopes called KELT, or Kilo Degree Extremely Little Telescope. By 2018, evidence had emerged that the star's gravity is actually ripping the planet apart. KELT 9b and other hot Jupiters could not have formed so close to their stars, or else their building blocks would have been ripped apart long ago. Only in colder, farther regions of a protoplanetary disk could such immense planets take shape. These gas giants must have migrated toward the star only after reaching their immense sizes. Read more. Visualization, watch planets move around in adolescence. Credit, ESA, Hubble, M. Kornmesser and L.L. Christensen, and NASA Goddard Scientific Visualization Studio. Full video. But nothing stays young forever, every planetary system eventually hits middle age, just like our own. Read on to Chapter 5 to find out more. Chapter 5, Settling Down, Life and Death of a Planetary System, Exoplanet Exploration, Planets Beyond Our Solar System. Settling down. At approximately 100 million to 1 billion year old, planets tend to settle down in their orbits and stars don't flare up as much. Our own solar system, about 4.5 billion years old, is the model for this idea of planetary middle age. Mandel thinks of our planetary system as about 45 to 50 years old, when scaled down to a human lifetime. But by studying exoplanets, the planets beyond our solar system, scientists know that our solar system is not the only way a planetary system can look in this comfortable age of life. The TRAPPIST-1 system, Artist's Concept. Credit. NASA, JPL Caltech. One star that recently became famous for its seven Earth-size rocky planets, TRAPPIST-1, formed somewhere between 5.4 billion and 9.8 billion years ago, safely older than our solar system. TRAPPIST-1, at only about 9% the size of our Sun, is an extremely faint M-dwarf star. All of its planets huddle extremely close together, all within the orbit of Mercury. Because the star's energy output is so low, its farthest planet, TRAPPIST-1h, may be a ball of ice, even though it makes one revolution around its star in less than 19 days. Another planet in this system, called TRAPPIST-1e, is especially similar to Earth in the amount of starlight its surface receives, even though 1 year, there is 6.1 days. Heather Knutson studies exoplanets at Caltech. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, J. Thompson. Hot Jupiters, about the same size as Jupiter or larger, orbiting much closer to their host stars and experiencing scorching hot temperatures, are nowhere to be found in our solar system. We could have had a hot Jupiter that got swallowed by the Sun early on, but plenty have survived in other systems, even older ones. Two examples are HAT-P65b, which scientists calculate to be 5.5 billion years old, and HAT-P66b, with an estimated age of 4.7 billion years. Other exotic kinds of planets around other stars include super-Earths, large rocky planets up to 10 times the mass of Earth, and small gaseous planets called mini-Neptunes. Q. Will Earth always be able to support life? A. Probably not. Close. The Sun may wipe out life on Earth even before it swells up to reach its red giant phase. Over the next couple of billion years, the increasing amounts of energy Earth will receive from the aging, expanding Sun will warm its atmosphere. The hotter the atmosphere, the more water vapor it will entrap as water evaporates from Earth's surface. The Sun's ultraviolet rays will break this water vapor down into oxygen and hydrogen, a gas light enough to escape. With water escaping into space through this process, the oceans will dry up and the crust will dry out, leaving a desolate, uninhabitable world. As volcanoes continue throwing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, there will be no oceans to swallow it or life forms to store it. This buildup of carbon dioxide causes what is called a runaway greenhouse effect, turning Earth into a hot, dry world like Venus. In fact, Venus may have once hosted a shallow liquid water ocean and temperatures conducive to life before a runaway greenhouse process made its environment unbearable when it was as old as 2 billion years. Visualization: planets settle down in their orbits. Credit: NASA Goddard Scientific Visualization Studio. Full video. At the age of our solar system, things are calm, for now. But as a star gets older, it may end up obliterating some of its planets. Will Earth survive? Read on to Chapter 6. Chapter 6, Aging into Giantness, Life and Death of a Planetary System, Exoplanet Exploration, Planets Beyond Our Solar System. Aging into Giantness. When our Sun approaches its red giant phase some 6 billion years from now, it will run out of fuel in its core. As hydrogen fusion slows, the core once again begins to contract. As the core gets smaller, it heats up until it can kick off another round of nuclear reactions, fusing helium into heavier elements such as carbon, nitrogen and oxygen. The hotter core also makes hydrogen fuse in the shell of material surrounding the core. Meanwhile, extra heat produced deep within in the star causes its outer layer of gas to puff up. The end of the red giant phase is typically the most violent time in a star's life. The bloated, dying star throws out material from its outer layers in intense episodic bursts. In our own solar system, the Sun will puff up so much that it will melt, evaporate and eat up some of the inner rocky planets. I am confident that the Sun will swallow Mercury and Venus, and not Mars. But the fate of the Earth, which resides in between, is less clear, said astronomer Dmitry Veris at the University of Warwick. Scientists studying whether or not Earth will be both toasted and swallowed create computer models of the gravitational interactions between Earth and the Sun as the solar system ages. Recent modeling suggests Earth probably won't make it out intact. But even if it does, all of the planets that survive will experience skyrocketing levels of energy from the expanding Sun, bathing their atmospheres and surfaces with intense radiation. Joel Green, shown at the Caltech Submillimeter Observatory on Mauna Kea in Hawaii, studies young stars and the formation of protoplanetary disks at the Space Telescope Science Institute. "We'll all be long gone," Mandel assured us. "Earth won't be habitable, and the only chance for survival would be for an advanced civilization to migrate to a new planetary home. The planet's orbits may also become unstable. As the red giant loses mass, the star's gravitational hold on its planets becomes much weaker, so their orbits will expand. In our own solar system, the Sun will throw off about half its mass, so the outer planets' orbits will drift outward, settling twice as far as they are today. Neptune, at 30 times the Earth-Sun distance, will eventually hike out to about 60 times the Earth-Sun distance. Approaching the end of its fuel-burning life, the Sun will become much brighter and bigger. It will grow so large in diameter that it could fill the entire sky from the surface of a surviving planet. News flash, heating up frozen worlds. Close. Life as we know it requires liquid water, and a rocky planet needs a certain amount of starlight so that any available water won't evaporate away or freeze. If scientists know enough about a star and its planet, they can calculate whether the planet could indeed harbor liquid water, meaning the star would be in the habitable zone. This artist's concept shows OGLE-2016BLG-1195LB, thought to be an ice ball. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech. But habitability of planets changes as a star gets older. A 2016 study led by Ramses M. Ramirez of Cornell University looked at different stars and predicted what would happen to their planets over time. Frozen planets, too cold to host liquid water when their star resembles our present-day Sun, may thaw out when their star expands into a red giant, because they will receive so much more heat energy. In the far future, such worlds could become habitable around small red suns for billions of years, maybe even starting life, just like Earth, said study co-author Lisa Kaltniger of Cornell. "That makes me very optimistic for the chances for life in the long run." Read more. Visualization, watch a red giant swallow a planet. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, D. Barry. Full video. Will the Sun and stars like it die in a fiery explosion or collapse in a small whimper? Check out Chapter 7 to find out. Chapter 7, Death and New Life, Life and Death of a Planetary System, Exoplanet Exploration, Planets Beyond Our Solar System. Artist's concept of a white dwarf with a hypothetical planet and debris disk. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech. Death and New Life. When the core of the former red giant has exhausted all of its fuel and shed all the gas it can, the remaining dense stellar cinder is called a white dwarf. The white dwarf is considered dead because atoms inside of it no longer fuse to give the star energy. But it still shines because it is so hot. Eventually, it will cool off and fade from view. Our sun will reach this death about 8 billion years from now. Observations of dusty debris belts around white dwarfs suggest that giant planets may hold small bodies in orbit around a white dwarf, and even fling them inward, to be chewed up by the dead star. This idea took root because of a variety of heavy elements detected in the atmospheres of white dwarfs, so heavy that they should have sunk into the dense, dead star long ago. Almost every star the universe eventually goes through this transition from red giant to white dwarf, although extremely low-mass stars will take longer than the present age of the universe to get there. However, if a star is extremely massive, it could follow a different path, expanding into a supergiant star and ultimately exploding as a supernova. Q. Can planets be born in a supernova? A. Yes. Close. Artist's concept of planets at pulsar PSRB 1257+12. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech. The unimaginably violent explosion of a supernova can trigger a whole new generation of stars, as well as planets. In fact, the first planets ever discovered outside our solar system are orbiting a pulsar, the crushingly dense remnant of a supernova that spins and pulses like a lighthouse. PSRB 1257+12, discovered with the Arecibo Radio Telescope in Puerto Rico in 1992, hosts three planets. These planets would not have survived their star's explosion. So they must have been created in the aftermath as debris formed a swirling cloud of gas and dust around the pulsar. Visualization: watch a red giant become a white dwarf, and supergiant explode in a supernova. Credit, NASA, JPL Caltech, D. Barry and NASA, JPL Caltech. Full video. On the shoulders of supergiants. Supergiant stars contain many layers of different kinds of atoms fusing, creating an enormous output of energy. To date, no planets have been found around supergiant stars that will explode one day. That doesn't mean they aren't there, however. Supergiant stars are very rare, and so bright that they would far outshine any orbiting bodies. It is possible that our technology is not yet advanced enough to find their planets. Supergiants may be fleeting, but their explosions play an important role in this story. The shock wave from the supernova can trigger the formation of new stars, birthing new lives in the wake of death. News flash: buried exoplanet treasure. Close. In 1917, astronomer Adrian van Manen discovered what appeared to be a faint, fast-moving star. The same year, Walter Sidney Adams captured the star's spectrum, a chemical fingerprint. Little did they know that they had captured the very first evidence of a white dwarf surrounded by planetary debris, and perhaps even the first indication of the existence of exoplanets. Close-up of spectrum of Van Manen's star. Credit, Carnegie Institution for Science. The spectrum of the star showed calcium and other heavy elements, meaning the white dwarf had gobbled up material with these components relatively recently. The leading theory is that exoplanets could fling small rocky bodies toward the white dwarf, where they would be pulverized by the dead star's gravity. Today we call these dead stars with heavy elements in their photospheres polluted white dwarfs. NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope has confirmed that about 40 white dwarfs have hot, dusty disks. Another handful emerged in data from NASA's Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, WISE. More than a century after Adams' spectrum, the puzzle pieces are still coming together. In 2015, astronomers using NASA's Kepler Space Telescope made the first discovery of a minor planet transiting a white dwarf, and in 2017 a different group found evidence of a white dwarf snacking on a possible comet-like body. Read more. Watch the full story of how a planetary system is born, lives and dies. Download video. Want more? Learn about planets beyond our solar system at NASA's Exoplanet Exploration website.